Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And we are here live in front of actual human beings at the Edmonton Comics and Entertainment Expo for the second year in a row. It is wonderful and exciting to be here with actual Erpers in the room with us. So welcome, folks, and thank you. As you may have guessed, we are, in fact, a podcast, so this is being recorded. If there are audience questions or comments or anything like that, it needs to make it on the microphone, so Kirsten will be our microphone person, and she will hold out the microphone to anybody who wants to come up and say anything. But yeah, for the audience at home who is listening, we want you to know what these people in the room were told to expect, so I'm going to throw it over to Kirsten to read the panel description.
Hi guys, thanks for coming out. So our little description for this panel was as follows. Fans, known as Erpers, have nominated the cast for awards, bought billboards in NYC, created art, kept the show trending on social media for months, and started multiple Erp-themed conventions in an effort to save the show from indefinite hiatus. With strong support from the highly engaged cast and producers, the Erpers work hard to build an inclusive fandom for this award-winning show, filmed in Alberta.
Woohoo! So I want to ask and like take the temperature of the room first of all. Is there anybody in the room who has never seen Wynonna Earp? And how do you feel about spoilers? You're okay with spoilers? Okay,
excellent.
Just check in. As for everybody else, who has not seen all of the current existing Wynonna Earp? Okay. Okay, so we're only a couple episodes from the end. All right. Well, we're not necessarily going to get deep into spoiler territory. We're kind of going to focus on the fight for Wynonna and the fandom and that sort of thing. But for a brief overview of what Wynonna Earp is and why you might want to start watching it, Annette, I'm throwing it to you.
Yeah, if you're not watching it, you should be. It's really good. Wynonna Earp is about a badass chick with a gun, and she is the great-great-granddaughter of Wyatt Earp, and she battles revenants who are all the outlaws that Wyatt killed, but never, they just won't die. They just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. And Wynonna has a magical gun called Peacemaker where she can take them out and send them back to hell. And so much adventures ensue. It is a show set in Alberta, filmed in Alberta, and with mostly a Canadian cast, a Canadian showrunner, Emily Andrus, who is amazing, and we love her. Mm-hmm. And it has a really devoted fandom who puts out like so many fan conventions, and people are so dedicated to this show. And it is shown on CTV Sci-Fi, it's now called, in Canada, and Sci-Fi Channel.
It's not space anymore,
yeah,
people.
It's not space.
It will always be space to me, let's face it.
No, it will. And then Sci-Fi in the U.S. and shown all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. It's actually got a really big following in a lot of other countries, which is super cool.
Yeah, it makes the online world where you connect with the fans really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Someday we will make it to a convention, which would be really exciting, I think.
Yeah, that would be great. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about on this particular panel is season 4 and the fact that there is actually going to be a season 4 because it was a bit of a rocky road to get there and the history of it. It was announced that they were renewed for season 4 at San Diego Comic-Con in 2016. And I don't know if anybody here has seen the videos of that happening, but it was just, even being like 1,000+ miles away and watching the excitement in the room, Shamir Anderson was like, I think, did he get up on the table?
He jumped on a table.
I think he gets on the table a lot. There's a lot of footage of him on a table.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't get on a table here, but.
Yeah, no table running here. But yeah, and he was running up and down the aisles and like just pumping people up. And it was really exciting. And I mean, that was even like the excitement for season 3 being renewed was every bit as thrilling.
Yeah, it seemed like that was a long time ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I wrote that down. It was 2018, not 16 is when it started.
Gotcha.
Yeah. See, that's my bad.
Notes.
You can at me.
I won't. But yeah, Annette, why don't you talk a little bit about what happened with the on again, off again, on again,
on again
nature. Yeah. Nature of, of what happened with season four.
Right. So as far as we knew, it was supposed to be filmed. And weirdly, they film in Alberta in the middle of winter.
Yeah. So, and that's just that's a normal, consistent thing for them.
Yeah. Mad respect for them to film in the middle of an Alberta winter or in the Calgary area. And we always love watching it because you can tell for real it's snow they're walking through. And when they're post-holing up to their hips in snow, that's genuine snow. That is not fake snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as Albertans, when we watch other properties that take place in the winter, we have a tendency to get annoyed.
And complain very loudly.
Mm-hmm. Fake snow and empty cups. When
okay, Wynonna Earp is definitely guilty of the empty cups syndrome, though.
So then in last February, it was, I think, February 21 of this year, and they, as far as we knew, they were already filming. We usually see stuff happening, but as far as we knew, they were filming the show with season four, supposed to start in about July this year, and Emily Andrus, the showrunner, tweeted something about...
The tweet disappeared pretty quick.
Yeah, tweet. It's like, are you guys ready to fight for the show? It was up for a very brief time, disappeared.
And anytime a tweet disappears suddenly, it's just like the internet's ears perk up like a cat and they're just like, and something's happening.
ERPers are not slow, they're fast. They were on it. And then she put up a tweet that just said, don't... I'm not going to say F because even though we're all grown ups here, I don't know if we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Sorry, don't F with my family. Melanie, some people were asking, and Melanie Scrafano, the star of the show, just said, we're supposed to be filming. We're not filming. We don't know why. And then basically Twitter hell broke loose in the airport world. And everyone went into action. All of a sudden there was nothing, and all of a sudden people were full gear.
It was an avalanche.
Yeah.
I mean, if you follow even just a couple of people who are related to the ERPer Twitter universe, I mean, the number of retweets and everything was just suddenly my feed was completely full of people briefly freaking out and then freaking out productively pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, definitely. So then, eventually, it didn't take too long for us to find out that the producing company, IDW Entertainment, was having financial problems, and so they didn't have the funds to start filming. And Sci-Fi, which is also a major funder of the show, they were like, we're still behind the show, don't worry, we're still behind it, we support this. And IDW was pretty quiet, I think, at the beginning.
I don't remember
that they said much.
Yeah, it took them the while to get a statement out. And even when they did, it was very vague. It didn't instill a lot of hope. And by that point, I think the fans had already really started the online campaign. And they had a couple people sort of leading the charge. And they're famous for their no chill. Polite no chill is how the ERPers like to go. And so that was already in full swing by the time IDW even said anything.
Yeah, because this is the fandom that jumped into People's Choice Awards type things and many fan voted awards, where Wynonna Earp cast members and show creators were not on the ballots and did enough like write-ins basically to have the cast win awards that they weren't actually up for. So it wasn't surprising that the fan base would jump into action that quickly when they thought that their show was threatened.
I think if you just want an ERPer on your side, because you get one and I think you get like millions and they're just all there for you. Like they're really hardcore. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And so then it's like the stuff they were doing was like literally they were buying billboards in Times Square. They were, people were doing fan art. People were doing fan fiction videos,
push-ups.
Yeah, some people are like, we're going to do one push-up a day more every day. It's off. So every once in a while, I'd be like, hey, push-up people, how are you doing? It's like 80 days. Are you doing 80 push-ups? They were. Like, so they were getting really strong and tough.
There's a part of me that's like, I really kind of wish I had jumped on that to start with. I mean, I probably could not have actually done a single push-up on day one. So the chances of me getting to day five and being successful. But if I would have at least tried, I might have gotten something substantial out of it.
And they hadn't tried and we'd be like super ripped right now. And
that's true. Alas, we missed that.
We missed that.
I know. I know. So,
but some other stuff, there were daily sort of prompts and challenges to keep it creative because it's hard, right? The fans were tweeting every day. It seemed like almost all the time. I swear half my Twitter feed was fight for Winona for months, it felt like. And so keeping up morale, keeping up that spirit, people really helping each other out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the New York Times billboards was the one that just totally blew my mind. And the fact that it happened so many times.
Like hundreds of
times. Well, one of the companies started offering a deal. So if you were taking out a fight for Winona billboard, they were offering a deal for fans, which I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And they'd throw in extra billboards. And when we won, we got our show back. They were set aside like a whole hour for everyone just to like put up what they want and extra billboards.
Celebrate. And some of the actors, I think, took out thank you billboards at that time.
Yeah, well, some of the actors showed up in Times Square and hung out with the ARPers sometimes to watch the billboards with them. So,
and even like, you know, during the entire run of it, people would get together, ARPers in the New York area would, you know, be like, okay, there's going to be a billboard going up on this day at this time. And they'd just go to Times Square and hang out together
and take pictures
and tweet the pictures so that the rest of the ARPers around the world could see what was going on. I was not in New York but I wished I was.
I always wish I'm in New York. Something else that happened, there's a lot of media coverage too, right? That's the kind of thing you want when you're looking for that support, when someone's in financial difficulty, if the mainstream media is reporting on it, that's always good for business too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's articles about the fandom and articles about the show. And I feel like there's a lot of people coming on board as fans watching it on Netflix and catching up. And while this was going on. So this whole thing was actually recruiting more people into the fandom.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Mm-hmm. Since like my shows might, who knows what's going to happen, but we're going to like bring as many people together to watch the show as we possibly can. This would be a good time to pause. And we have, because ARPers are so generous, Danielle, who is at FailWolf on, I think there's a number behind that, but she's on Twitter, and she made this great video about fandom and about why we fight and about the show. And it makes me always a little verklempt when every time. So it's probably good I can't see it from here. But she gave us permission to show it to you and to share it with you. And it's just, I think, about 4 minutes long. And let's just pause and watch. So if you haven't seen it before, or if you're not familiar with the show, it can give you a bit of an idea about how great the cast and the fandom is.
When I say Winona, you say Winona!
It's unbelievable the amount of passion and dedication the fans have to this. In a billion years, I didn't think they would throw conventions for us.
It is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You have created something so special and powerful that you should never underestimate the power that each one of you has.
I just hope that you guys feel as much as you make us feel. I just want you to feel it right back, because you've given us a sense of purpose and of pride and a feeling of belonging and family and all these beautiful things. And I want you guys to know that this show is just as much about you and for you and made by you as it is that we are a part of it. And I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for just making me feel like I have some sort of purpose.
You guys make a career mean something. For me, it's been 18, 19 years of working in film and television, and I haven't worked on a show in 18 years that has a following like you guys.
Every single person that I interact with, like, I just want you to know you. Every single person makes me a better person. Like, you inspire me to be a better person, and you have influenced my life in such a positive way.
This fandom and this show has just been so more amazing than could have been possibly, you know. Me being humble has nothing to do with it anymore. It's just like, wow, it's honestly, it's something to be a part of that I don't think any of us could have. been prepared to be a part of, and it's beautiful. You guys are awesome.
Over 20 years ago, it was just me and Winona in a room, and now she's a compass, and she'll always be the compass that I'll always be able to find my way back to you guys.
I just want to say thank you so much for proving to the people who are my bosses that there's an audience for the stories we want to tell, and that that really empowers us to tell more of those stories. So it is an honor and a privilege.
What you guys, but like I get verklempt every time I hear Tim Rozon talk about being on Winona Earp, but this was even more, more than usual.
Shamir just makes the most excellent hype man mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah, he's really, really good at that. So thank you. Super, super huge thanks to Danielle for letting us show that, because it's just, it's great. And yeah, that like the hashtag fight for Winona flipped over to the hashtag win for Winona, because we totally won.
Yeah, on July 2nd, and it kind of came out of the blue. Like every day, you're kind of because it was a lot of work.
Yeah, I have to give huge props to Annette, who
yes.
was our Earp Chirp Twitter guru, who did. It was basically like a second job for you for
I
those
know.
Months.
I had to get up like every morning. I got up, and before I work for myself, I open my computer. Before I did any work, I'd sit and get on Twitter, and I'd like talk to people. Thanks to Lindsay and Nedley's office for putting all sorts of prompts for us to do, because like trying to think of things you can say other than like, give us our show back, give us our show back. And so people had a lot of fun with it. We made like book covers and song lyrics and like all sorts of crazy stuff, telling stories and stuff and keeping it interesting. And so like every day you're like, today, and then after a while, you just kind of think it's never going to happen, even though I knew it was going to happen.
It was just like, is this our life now? Just yeah, connecting just with fellow fans on Twitter, but not actually watching anything new. But no, it happened.
Yeah, and then it happened, and then they announced it's back. We're getting our season. We are losing a whole year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the delay means, and the fact, like we said, they shoot in winter in Alberta. They had to wait for the next winter because we didn't have one.
I was hopeful for, I'm like, maybe this year they'll film them in the summer, but no, they're going to wait till winter.
Genuine, honest question. How would you feel about that if suddenly we saw a season of Winona Earp where there was no snow and no Albertan winter? Okay, so
someone's excited.
We got some whoops from the crowd. I don't know. To me, like, I would still enjoy the crap out of it because it would still be Winona Earp, but like there would be something missing because part of what I love about the show so much is the fact that it's at home.
Cold.
It feels like home. And yes, for most of the year, home is cold. So
yeah, I would miss nice. That. We could show the world that we could have it can get nice in purgatory for a little while in the summer.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd miss
for
the
5 minutes.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a podcast. So if you have comments, raise your hand.
Nope,
and
come up.
You just have to say it into the microphone.
It won't be on the podcast. If it's
she just said,
you
said maybe in the spring. So it's like a crossover.
That's true.
That's true.
Spring, yeah,
okay.
Which, you know, really our summer is spring to a lot of the world. So
do we even have a summer?
Our resident American mocking our summers.
Not mocking, just calling it what it is.
It's nice here. It's summer.
No, it's actually nicer here than it is in
if
summer,
they had
in
filmed
summer
this
places.
Summer, and I'm using air quotes, they would have been very wet.
Yeah. Mm.
So that might have been interesting.
That's true.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be cold than wet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a dry cold. That's what we always say.
It is.
It's a dry cold.
And you know what? As somebody who moved from wet cold to dry cold, it's way, way better. Like winters here are much more easy to tolerate than winters in Wisconsin, because it's just like it gets into your bones and mm-hmm. it may the temperature may not be lower, but you feel colder.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
All right. After that digression.
Yes. We always end up talking about winter. I don't know how come that happened.
Yeah, winter or rats. Well, we bring the local flavor to the Winona Earp podcast community. So
yes. Mm-hmm. One of the, like, of course, the media picked up that we won and stuff, and everyone was celebrating. And there's this great quote from Emily that I'm going to read in a Vulture article. And she said, "The Earpers, this is all thanks to them. The movement they have built on kindness and inclusivity is legendary. But what I admire most is their determination to fight not only for what they want, but what they deserve. The fans showed up right when we needed them most, but then they always do." And like, that makes me laugh. I'm like, because they do. But she did say, like, if we weren't there showing that there's an audience for a show like this, mm-hmm. and showing that we want to watch, and that we're not going to take no for an answer, and being like relentless.
Relentlessly positive and yes. kind for the most part.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it just showed that there was a reason to fund this show and not give up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And actually, and as you said, like a minute ago, the whole fact that we had to do this ridiculous long, long, long fight really did bring so many more people into the fold because they heard about it and were like, oh, maybe I should finally check out this thing that I was thinking about. And that I think also helped get IDW and Sci-Fi really on board. It might have maybe happened anyway, but the chances are way, way smaller. Like, just, you know, I'm a fan of a bunch of media properties, and having watched the way TV shows come and go and mostly go, the chances that it would have actually come back without that kind of fervor on the internet, I think, is it's pretty slim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and so then we thought we actually wanted to talk a little bit about. So that's the whole situation, mm-hmm. but why? What is it about this little Canadian/American production filmed in Alberta that has become a cult classic? I'm going to call it cult. I don't know. Is it mm-hmm. old enough to be a classic? But it is. It's a,
it's a cult hit.
It's a hit. It's going to be a classic because. Mm-hmm. But why is it so beloved? Why do people mm-hmm. care so much about this show? It's very niche. When people ask me like what do you care? Like, why do you watch this show? I'm like, you're either the person who's going to love it if you're the kind of sci-fi, fantasy, adventure-y sort of person, you're going to love it. If you're more into your cop dramas or something like that. It's not a show for everyone, but the people it is a show for,
it
really is. I think you just got to get those people to watch the one episode or two episodes. Mm-hmm. Suck them in.
Yep. Yep, totally. So
we're looking at you over there. We're just going to like, just go home, watch a couple episodes and then
report
back. It's
on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about what inspires such devotion. And so yeah, if anybody has anything that they want to say or add to the discussion, come on up and Kirsten will hold out the microphone so you can talk into it and be on the podcast. But again, reminder, this is a podcast, so your voice is getting recorded and will be put out on the Incomparable Podcast Network. So be aware of that. Or if you have anything to add in terms of like cool stuff that you did during the fight for Winona, if there was any of the creative efforts that you took part in that you're really proud of and want to talk about, we are always interested to hear that. But Kirsten, you want to start with a little bit about what
sure.
makes this show devotion worthy?
Absolutely. I think one of the big things that we talk about a lot among the three of us is just it's a female-centric story. It's written by women. The showrunner is a fantastic woman, and we just get to see the kinds of characters that we don't always see in other forms of medium, and that's really inspiring and makes it interesting, and it's just doing something that should be more common, but unfortunately isn't. And I know for me personally, when I watch TV, I want something fun. I want an escape. I can't watch The Handmaid's Tale anymore because it just bums me out. But when I think about Winona Earp and the way that it focuses on home and family and love and acceptance and inclusivity, it just mm-hmm. makes me happy. And I think that we need more of that in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons, and I have done for decades. And it always kind of felt like in a lot of the media and stuff that I would read around that being a woman was a character type. So like, you know, you would have, or a race even. So, you know, you have a dwarf and you have an elf and you have a halfling
woman.
And then you have the girl. And, you know, even some of the media that I really, really love, that was just sort of a part of it. Like, there's the one token woman. And I feel like an awful lot of television media is like that. Like, there are some great, great female characters on television over the years, but a lot of them, like a huge proportion of them, are the one woman on that show who happens to get to be really, really cool. Whereas here, on Winona Earp, there are so many women that you get to have multiple different character types that are all played by women. So you can have somebody who is the quote-unquote stereotypical strong female character. I hate that phrase. It makes me feel dirty every time I say it. But I'm just so sick of it.
We're going to call her badass.
Yes. But I mean, that's the thing. For a while, it seemed like the only way that you could have a strong female character was to have a woman who is a badass, who is embodying a lot of these traditionally masculine sorts of roles, being able to, you know, punch people and kick people and shoot them and stuff. And yeah, that can be a really awesome, strong female character, but that you're sort of missing out on some of the other cool things that women can do. So, you know, when you have a character like Waverly, who is friggin' smart and knows how to do her research and still is femmy as all get out and has no problem with that, like, that's the kind of character that we don't, or we haven't traditionally gotten to see as much. And so we have so many women scattered across this show that you get to have your cake and eat it too.
Like a Mercedes. Let's talk about Mercedes. Or Kate.
About Mercedes.
Both women who are they villains? Are they not villains? Or you have the Stone Witch, who's a full out villain. Mm-hmm. So you can have, you know, it's like there are major male characters in the show, but I feel like it centers around the female experience, in part because it centers around Waverly and Winona, and the relationships that they have. But it's kind of nice. It's like you can have women who are really awesome and great, and you can have women that are very flawed, and you can have women that are, you know, not sure if they're going to join the Revenants because they might win and you might want to join the winning side, or maybe they want to be on the side of Winona and her feisty crew. But and they shift allegiances, they shift what they're thinking, and it's kind of cool to see that, right? Because you don't, when you have more than one woman, you can actually have one more mm-hmm. than one story about them.
Yeah, your comment about having women that are flawed is, like, that is so important to me. Because when you have a show or a property where there is just the one woman, then suddenly they're standing in for everybody, like all ladies everywhere. So if they do something that ain't great, then suddenly that's, you know, oh my gosh, you're representing all of women in a bad light. And here we can have our main character, who is hella flawed and is still loved and not judged for it by the other people around her. And it's just, I don't know, it makes me really happy.
I think you can tell too, it's written and produced, like the showrunner is a woman, and she's got a lot of female writers on the show because it's really different. I know Chris and I spent a lot of time talking about a certain other show we won't name that is not written by a man, but is written by a man, about a female character that we were vastly disappointed in, and he's very defensive about what he did with that character. And
I don't know who they're talking about.
I know.
About.
I'm really curious.
Mystery.
We can't talk to
her
about it.
We're not going to get into it. We'll never stop.
She hasn't watched it yet, and we can't ruin it. We don't want to ruin it for anyone else. But we spent a lot of time talking about like that's part of the problem is not that men can't tell stories about women, but we spent a lot of time getting stories written by men about women, and you know that's our lived experience is different, mm-hmm. and that's why I think it's important to have diversity, not just in having women writers, but mm-hmm. Writers of other races, experiences.
Genders,
mm-hmm. And that's another thing we need to talk about is how queer friendly this show is, mm-hmm. and I think that's really important. And I think it really makes a difference on what, like, the stories that are told and how they affect us, and what it's like for women to watch stories written and told by women.
Yeah, there's not a ton of queer representation on television. There's more and more all the time, but. There should still be more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what is there is not as positively represented as it could be. Or if it is, then one of the queer characters gets killed. It just keeps happening.
Or they're experimenting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think, I mean, the central love story in this show is queer. And I think, absolutely. I mean, it's what people have latched onto. It gives a sense of hope. It's honest and real. They don't make it cheesy or it feels real. Like they go through trials and tribulations and they get through it together. And I think it's a really positive representation that doesn't sugarcoat things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without being super spoilery, like, you know, you have the main character, Winona Earp, and there's a bit of a love triangle with her and two of the male characters. So coming into it cold, I thought that was the romance aspect of the show. Like, that was mm-hmm. what I thought. And I was totally on board with it because it's really interesting and it's good stuff. But the longer I watched, the more I realized, no, that is not the heart of the show. You're right. That Kristen is absolutely right. That's the main sort of backbone romance of the entire show is a queer romance, which is great.
Yeah. And I think we can say it's Nicole and Waverly. We're being
it's way hot.
It's like way hot. And I think that's part of what, also has because it's so rare to see a couple like that have just such a fundamental, important role within the show, but also be so positive. And Emily has said she will not, she said she's not going to bury her gaze in this show. unless I don't know, maybe someone leaves and then what do you do? Mm-hmm. But so far, she's very protective about that relationship. And I think it's really important. We're all straight women, but I find people who fund these things need to understand that even as straight women or straight people, we can enjoy, get behind, and appreciate queer romances. It's like, it's not like those stories are only for LGBTQ people. Mm-mm. It's there are things that resonate with everyone, and a romance and a love story is a romance and a love story, and you can fall in with that, and you can fall in love with both those characters too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things that gets me annoyed on television, books, movies, anything, is the sort of trope of characters not telling each other things that in real life they would totally tell each other just for the sake of drama, just to create the drama. And I think that is something that Winona Earp very, very rarely does. When somebody chooses not to share a piece of information with another character, it's for a reason that makes sense in the universe and makes sense to that character. And I think that Emily has done a good job with Weha, that relationship, and not, you know, leaning into the, oh, it's a romance, so we can't have them be happy too long, so we have to do some random, throw in random drama to make them nervous, just to keep the drama going. And that doesn't really happen. They definitely, as you said, they have trials and tribulations, just like, you know, any real relationship would. And also just like any real relationship in a town where there are zombies.
Right? Like, I think the supernatural element gives them a whole other level to play with too, mm-hmm. right? So you have these real people living their real lives with normal everyday struggles, but also revenants running around causing mischief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's cool how responsive Emily is to the fandom. Like, she is on Twitter all the time.
I don't know how she finds time to write things because she's always on Twitter.
Yeah. and she's responsive to the fandom in the show too. Like, she, one of our fellow podcasters, not this show, but Kevin, who has his own podcast called Tales of the Black Badge. And she actually named a character after him in season three. Which mm-hmm. is like, who does that?
Yeah,
it's just so amazing. Cool, like, she's just aware mm-hmm. how much the fans do for the show, and she's doing cool things like that. And she has said in articles that even though she has a fundamental plan for season four, that what happened with the fight for Winona is going to change how she does address the story and add some dimensions to the story that mm-hmm. she might not have done otherwise because of what we as a community have been through. And it sort of feels cool that we as a fandom are kind of helping to create the world of Winona Earp.
Yeah, that is an extra layer that you don't get on a whole lot of other shows. And, you know, when it does happen, they're not always as open about being like, yeah, this was because of the fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fan service in the best kind of way.
Yeah, direct fan service.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are closing in on the end of our time. So, you know, if anybody has anything that they want to say, just raise your hand and let us know. And obviously, Kirsten and Annette. If you,
Come on up, all
right,
sir.
Kirsten, pull your microphone off the stand and hold it out. Should just pop right off. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Just set it over there. So first of all, tell us your name, if you don't mind.
And because of your advocacy and all the work that you put into it, have they asked you to be extras on some of the shows? Because seriously, that you did so much free PR for them that they should be doing something back.
Dear Emily, we are available.
That is super kind. Yes,
that would be fun.
We are only a few hours north.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have a big party scene with a whole bunch of ERPers in the background.
That's true.
I'm totally okay with getting smashed or something.
Right?
Yeah, like beer bottle. Mm-hmm. And
right? I can just see like passed out on the floor.
Yeah, I would I would lie passed out over a table in the background and just like I would do that for hours.
Right?
And,
that is an excellent question, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate that. We did do a road trip together last summer, and because we toured a whole bunch of sites and stuff, which is really cool. And
by toured, not like somebody led us around.
No,
and
we
said,
just like went around.
Annette
and, like
mapped it out because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But all that stuff is available online because ERPers are thorough.
This is
so you can find these things.
It was cool because they film like there were random spots. We went to like a bridge in the middle of nowhere, but we also went to, I'm blanking on the name, the museum in Calgary.
Heritage Park
where they film a lot of their sort of some of the building and exterior stuff and
a few of the interiors.
A few of the interiors
well.
Too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like one party scene from season one, we were in the same room, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. That was cool. And we recorded some live stuff live while we were there. So eventually we'll have like a special episode of ERP Chirp with our
right now,
little bits and pieces.
Right now we can call it
our
lost episode.
It's not lost. It's not lost. We know exactly where the pieces are.
It's just sleeping.
It's napping.
It's unassembled. It's our unassembled.
We are very proud to be a lazy podcast. Mm-hmm. So we put very little effort into like cutting and making everything fancy. And that's a podcast episode that requires more work than just piecing it together really quickly.
Yeah. And our Cracker Jack producer, who is literally right now the man behind the curtain, is
like way behind the curtain.
He did. Yes. Well, he's the one that brought along the microphone and did all of the recording and like followed us around. He had one of those fancy shotgun microphones. He looked super professional. It was great.
We got a lot of weird looks.
Yeah, we did get a lot of weird looks, but
we're
maybe,
okay with it.
Maybe that had nothing to do with the microphone. We don't
know. I'm actually used to that.
Thank you very much, Stephen, for making all of this happen. But yeah, lazy podcast. It's in our remit from day one.
Yeah, it's a good way to make a podcast.
Mm-hmm. It totally is. Yep. All right. Any last words, you guys, about like tell me how happy you are that we're getting more Wine on ERP.
Ecstatic. I mean, it's hard waiting because it's going to be 2 years by the time we get around to another season. But you know, you've got to respect scheduling and all that kind of stuff. It's really awesome to know that we made an impact. All of the fans came together, and that sort of unity is really nice. And it just sort of warms the cockles of my tiny little heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a fan of a lot of British television, British TV seems to be made so differently in terms of how many episodes you get and when you get them. So you might get 6 episodes of something and then no more for like 3 years. And, you know, like try being a Sherlock fan.
The Doctor Who fan in the last years.
Or Doctor Who fan right now, it seems like.
It's been a long time.
I'm not bitter. It's fine. And I'm okay with the waiting period because I know now that it's coming back.
And it'll be worth it when it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they left us on, and no spoilers, but a pretty good cliffhanger where there's a lot of peril happening. And so now we have to wait 2 years before we find out what happens.
But not 2 years from now.
Not 2 years from now, a year from now. Mm-hmm. So we're halfway through it. And I feel like I have a lot of faith in Emily and the show producers and runners because it's been consistently really good. So I feel like it's totally going to be worth waiting for, and it's going to be a glorious moment.
Hear, hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you once again, everybody, for coming out and sharing this day with us. This has been a wonderful convention. Thanks to all of the wonderful volunteers at Edmonton Expo. We've had unfailingly good service from everybody that we have worked with the entire time that we've been here. It's been great. All right. Then I guess we just have to close out with our usual
lights out, bitch.